As promised, we'll go to an interview now with a citizen of the blogosphere. As listed on the WPKN Today blog, citizen journalist, citizen soldier, and we'll be talking with Pamela from the blog Atlas Shrugs. And good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
And thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
So, what is it that that got you into blogging? Why do you do it? Right to the chase.
It's interesting because it was really a natural, almost a biological happening. I was the publisher of the New York Observer. I had children. I have four little girls, and that was my mission. I couldn't do both. I tried. I really did. I had the breast pump going and paginating the paper, and they couldn't open the... But something had to give. It wasn't going to be my kids. It was a choice, a conscious choice I made. And the media bias always bothered me, but to me it was a game. And after 9/11, it was no longer a game. It was no longer a game. It wasn't politics. It was really life and death. And there was no voice. I didn't find a voice until I hit the net and I got turned on to Little Green Footballs, again, by accident, all by accident. And I didn't stop posting there until somebody, a great student, a great brain, and an objectivist as well, Ayn Rand, sent me Blogspot and said, start blogging. And I just started typing and I didn't stop. Because I really believe that Western civilization hangs in the balance, and we have to get the word out, and there is a complete blackout on news, on real news. And it's shocking to me that in an era of cable, 24/7, 365, all news all the time, that we are watching car chases and speed chases with cops when, you know, Arabia is burning. So, and in a nutshell, it was out of necessity. Mother is the necessity of invention. And so atlasshrugs.com or pamelasnews.com or what have you.
Now, judging by the name, one would expect a lot of really objectivist content, which isn't really apparent by what's on there. There is a large mix of news from around the world.
Yes, my parents are God and Ayn Rand. And I know I can see all the objectivists out there just cringing and, oh, no, you can't, you mustn't, it's not true to the... I don't want to hear it. That's who my parents are. That's it. That's my belief system. And Atlas Shrugs, I believe Atlas was shrugging. I believe 9/11 was the penultimate Atlas shrugging moment. And so the objective of my blog is to get news out there that the mainstream media refuses to report. And when they take up the mantle, I'll put down my pen. But until then, I won't. I mean, it's purely a labor of love. I mean, you see, there's no advertising on my site. But there's so much news that is just not getting out to the people. And, you know, the Republicans... are not doing a terribly good job of getting the message out. And, you know, I think it was Churchill who said, you know, when the eagles are silent, the parrots begin to jabber. And the parrots have been jabbering for 5 years, and the polls reflect it. And what we're not talking about is Iran, and it needs to be a constant conversation. The clock is ticking. There are great sites out there with all the news, like Regime Change Iran. That is, I mean, I get pictures from Iranian bloggers of severed heads, of women being stoned. You never see this. You don't know what's going on. And the clock is ticking, and they're stalling, and the EU is stalling because they're completely emasculated, and they're building a nuclear bomb. Hello. So, yeah, I feel I have a responsibility, and I think to stand by and do nothing makes you even more guilty than the true believers who really believe they're doing something for a reason. If you're standing by and watching and you know the difference and you don't do anything about it, you're more guilty than they are. So Atlas Shrugs really is, a lot of people have not read Atlas Shrugs, but they can relate to the visual of Atlas shrugging and the wall and the world falling down. They can relate to that. They can understand it. In one visual, they get it. So that's why Atlas Shrugs.
Right.
And I do love Ayn Rand, and it is my favorite book of all time.
Now, the world that Rand described in Atlas Shrugged is somewhat like the one we're in now, but it's obviously a sort of an alternate reality where there is not the information technology that that was developed, and air travel in the novel is not nearly what it what it became is still more of a railroad world, but it describes a world in America going going sharply to the left and the consequences. Do you see that actually happening in the real world? In the real world we live in, is that what you mean by Western civilization hanging in the balance?
Yeah, well, it's happening. It's happened. It's happened. And actually, when I read that book a million years ago, I thought that she was being overtly obvious, and I thought she was taking it over the top, and I thought, well, maybe she really wants to drive the point home, but I think that she's over the top, when in fact, world events make her scenario look meek. Honestly, if she wrote this, it would not be believable. It is unquestionably happening. And what's even more interesting is the more they are exposed, the left and the bias, the more blatant they become. It's not like they retreat and try to rehabilitate themselves. No. They become more adamant, more like a two-year-old child, stomping, and you try to punish them, and they're having a temper tantrum, and they first go off. That's how I see it. They become even, I mean, look, there's a lot of women out there that put their stuff out there. I'm out there with basically my epistemology. But the left, when they attack me, and they do, in the most vile and disgusting, it's not intellectual discourse. It's not an argument. They go immediately, objectify me immediately in a sexual way. And look, Michelle Malkin, her new book, Unhinged, is basically, all her vile comments. I mean, she really, I'm not nearly the size of Malkin, and she really takes it on the chin in the most, like I said, the most vile, disgusting way, because she's Asian and because she's a woman, and they really go after her. But what is that? What is that? Why can't we have a discussion? Why can't we discuss this? Why is it attack in the most vile manner? I had to tell my children, because Vanity Fair, Wolcott, did a disgusting piece, and I have daughters. And I said, listen, we're getting to a point where you're going to get some stuff at school. You got to have a spine. But you know something, David? My children have a spine. I took them to see Bush inaugurated, and we were walking down the street to the parade, and there were a bunch of moonbats, you know, really crazy. I'm not using the term... pejoratively, that's what they were. And they're screaming at my kids, baby killer, because of Iraq. And I turned to the guy and I said, you know, I would take a bullet for your right to say that. And he said, I wouldn't. And my 12-year-old said, you just don't get it. Out of the mouth of a 12-year-old, you just don't get it. She gets it. So that's important. It's very important that I set the example, because this is not going to be over tomorrow or next year. This is a battle. The civilization, and we have to raise future leaders, which is why my blog may seem like it's about so many things, but it's all about the same thing. I mean, academia has been hijacked. The MELAC departments have been hijacked. Down to the public schools, down to elementary schools and what they're teaching. You go to my categories, you click on hijacking the American education. If you knew what was going on, not you per se, but if America knew really what was going on in the public education system, it would just, I think it would really frighten them.
Now, what do you have for an example of this? You have anything specific?
Oh my God! Where do I begin? The teaching of the seven pillars of the Quran in public schools. I mean, the MELAC departments in Columbia University. See the movie Columbia Unbecoming. You can even go to Columbia Unbecoming. I think it's .com or go to my site and we'll take you there. There's so many. It's all in the details. There are so many blatant examples. Look, Ward Churchill is the most blatant example. But you know what? Ward Churchill doesn't scare me, because he's so out there and so nuts and such a wingbat that it's obvious. What scares me are the quiet Ward Churchills, the quiet teachers that are teaching this, that are not exposed because they're so blatant and out there. But yeah, academia is teaching to the left. Do you know I have nieces that come to me with their college essays and ask me to help them couch them and write them so they can get into school? They want to be careful not to show a liberal bias. Now, listen, we didn't put that into their head. They may think a certain way, and they've been excoriated in high school and junior high school. Listen, I have a niece who's trying to get into an Ivy League school. She's a 4.0, but she has had problems because, and she's not the loud type. She's somewhat, not meek, that's the wrong word, but quiet and strong, and she has to couch how she writes. That's not America. I didn't have that. Did you have that going to school? Did you even think about that? That you had to write your opinion in a certain way so that you wouldn't, your grade wouldn't be affected?
Well, not in high school, but in college. Yeah, with the philosophy, a couple of philosophy classes I had, and a sociology class where the professor was, you know, very very outspoken communist, and the essay questions were written in such a way to lead you down a certain path. So I would always write exactly what the argument that the professor was looking for, and then the last two paragraphs of my essay would be a refutation of the first five paragraphs that I'd just written. And he gave me a B. He would never give me an A, but he gave me a B, and he was the department chair. He signed off on my being a minor and told me I was a great philosopher, but I knew I'd never get an A from the guy.
Well, that's a pity, don't you think?
Yeah.
And that was the beginning.
That's the game.
This is the scary thing is this is not changeable overnight. Even if we, quote-unquote, woke up and everybody said, hey, this is really important, which, by the way, it is. It's really important, and the left wants to throw more money at the problem when, in fact, listen, we spend almost more per child than any industrialized nation, and we rank 27th out of 30 in math and science. That's disgusting. That's a pity. And it's these are tenured teachers. You cannot get rid of them. It is a problem. Elliot Karsh of the London School of Economics, I think he's frightened more by this than the Arabian problem or the Arab problem. And when I say Arab, I mean radical Islamic Arab in England. I mean, this is really frightening because these are fine young minds. And I challenge anyone to go to my site and click on hijacking the American education system. Everything is hyperlinked. I don't make this stuff up. I source everything. And when it's my opinion, I say it's my opinion. And when it's fact, I link to the fact. This is the problem with newspapers. When I was growing up, a newspaper had its op-ed, its editorial, and its opinion on the op-ed pages. You knew where to go. Today, it's the front page. It's in every word. I have actually taught my children to pick up a paper and to read what is fact and what word is editorial. You have to teach children how to read. You have to teach children how to think. It's incredible. It's wild.
Listen,
my daughter was doing current events, and a teacher took off 10 points because she didn't name the suicide bomber. And my daughter said to the teacher, he doesn't have a name. Now, how many kids are like that? How many kids can respond like that? Seriously.
True, very true. Now, you mentioned media bias. Now, if you listen to regular listeners to this radio station are probably used to already hearing media bias mentioned in terms of a conservative media bias and the media as the tool of the Bush administration. You're coming at it from a different, from a completely different angle. You're saying there's a left-wing media bias. So, you know, I'm somewhere in the middle listening to both sides. What's your case for a left-wing media bias?
What's not my case? Where? Show me where. Why is there a blog? Why is there a blogosphere? Why? How did that emerge? How did that happen? First of all, it was totally ignored by the media until they were clubbed with Rathergate. And now when they have to mention the blogosphere, because they do, it can't be ignored, it's a force, really a grassroots force, they will mention Koss. They will never, ever, you never hear Little Green Footballs. And I believe that Charles Johnson will go down in history. Oh, I could just see the left laughing and going nuts. But really, I believe that the blogosphere changed the course of the presidential election. I believe the blogosphere was around in 2000. They wouldn't have been able to drop that DWI on Bush, that DWI, a few days before the election because he was leading. Where is it not a media bias? I mean, the grassroots talk radio, the grassroots blogosphere, this is the only place for the right to get the word out. I don't see how the New York Times running four pictures on the front page, of Bush walking into that door in China. It's on my site if they want to see it. That is a bias. Never running oil for food. Olivia, can you be quiet, please? I'm on the phone with the radio station. Never running oil for food on the front page. The largest scandal, the largest white-collar crime in world history on the front page of the New York Times, the template for all news and news media. World leaders read it. Opinion makers read it. This is not a bias. This is treason. This is seditious. We have won that war in Iraq. We have won that war in Iraq. How about that? And they want us to say that the boys are coming home with their heads held in shame? How dare they? There's not one hero. You ever hear about the heroes in Iraq? What is that? I have no bloggers emailing me such stories, such pictures. Such pictures, you never see it. You never hear it. Every day I get from Yahoo the military dead, every day. How come I never hear about the dead from radical Islamic terror attacks? They never talk about that. I have a running a Religion of Peace, which is a blog which runs a daily counter, which changes every hour, on attacks, Islamic attacks. They can't give a number for dead because you can't really, they try to be really anal about what they construe as an Islamic terror attack, but there's been like 3,300. You never hear about it. You have the three Christian girls walking home from school, heads sawed off, never hear about it. It's every day, you never hear about it. And the American people, listen, the American people want to enjoy their life. So they're not going to be like me, news girl, every minute with the news. So the future of news is where you choose to get your news. That's the future of news. It's not sitting on the ground. It's not Edward Morrow. He's there. He's on the ground. He got there. Uh-uh. Who is your editor? Because there's so much news out there, so much news. You got to figure it out. It's an equation. But you can't look at the media landscape today and tell me it's not biased.
Yeah, let's go back to the blogosphere.
Let's go.
You mentioned Little Green Footballs, which depending on your source is either one of the big great conservative blogs or it's an anti-Islamic hate site. Which depending on the source you read, which is it?
Why is it a hate site? Because it's one of the few places where you can get news on radical Islam. Why is it a hate site? Because he is delivering information, critical information, that nobody else wants to touch. What makes it a hate site? Why is it a hate site? I don't understand that. I get news there that I will not get anywhere else. Things that are happening that are critical to the American way of life. Why does that make it a hate site? We were silent too long. We let it go too long. There is a danger, a serious danger, when the weapons are as deadly as they are today. Deadly. Listen, I'm not saying. Look, I find fault. Listen, I love Reagan, but I find fault with how the 243 Marines that were bombed in Lebanon. I find fault with that. Right then and there, was a call to arms. Right then and there. But war has been declared on America, and no matter how many ways you want to look the other way or put blinders on, it's happening. It's happening. It's happening. And, you know, listen, I'm not Chicken Little. Trust me. I'd rather be dancing. I love to dance. I'd rather be dancing than doing this. But I see it. I see it. And Bush sees it. If anything, Bush, in my opinion, is too soft. How about that? I think he panders to the left way too much. But that's just me.
Yeah, well, that's definitely something you don't hear on mainstream media. You don't hear it on the alternative media or the progressive media.
David, let me ask you something.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Why is it the more far left you are, the more publicity you get? You take that Cindy Sheehan, for example. 12 people show up at that stupid protest outside his house in Crawford, and the entire media descends on the 12 people. The more left you are, the more headlines you get. Mirtha. Who by the way wanted us to pull out of Somalia too, by the way, so he has a history of that, but not the point. But you never hear people say we should be going into Iran, how we got to be taking out those nukes. And how come the far right never gets that kind of front page? You never hear from the very far right, never.
Well, what about AM talk radio, which seems to be almost entirely conservative pundits?
Why is that? Because it's what the market will bear. That was bottom up. The media, the elite media, is top down. The elite media is making decisions and delivering the news of the day on a platter to you. Talk radio is market driven. If somebody, look at that liberal, that Air America. We're going to come and we're financed and we're going to be the biggest. They had all the money in the world. They had George Soros behind them and they can't get arrested. They're stealing from Gloria Wise, which is, they're stealing from our taxpayer money. Our taxpayer money. Gloria Wise, if you don't know the story, again, go to my site. It's all linked. But they've been, you know, they're being investigated for taking taxpayer money. I mean, how come, if it's the voice of the people, how come they can't get arrested, Air America?
True. Seriously. Some markets, they're not even showing up in the Arbitron books.
Oh, please. It's a joke.
We got a few minutes left, so I have to ask you about Pajamas Media. You are part of that.
Yeah, it's a great thing.
A featured blogger. I'm still somewhat confused on it because originally I think the idea was it was an advertising, a blog advertising venture, and then it became more of a blog portal or super source, and it's still kind of hard to tell. And then there was a whole name change thing. But you're what, a featured blogger on there?
What is
Pajamas Media?
Well, that's the whole thing. Obviously, the campaign is working brilliantly because we set out to confuse people, and it's just genius. It's a stroke of genius.
That's been flawless.
No, I'm kidding. The thing about Pajama Media and the objective, in my opinion, was that there were these great aberrant sources of information, and it was a place where there would be an umbrella. You know, really, you have to be very internet savvy to know where to go. There was no portal of what I consider to be great intelligence, like Glenn Reynolds and Roger Simon and Charles Johnson and the Belmont Club, Richard of the Belmont Club. I'm neglecting a lot of people, and I don't mean to do that, but the point I was trying to make was that there was a wealth of intelligence where wouldn't it have been nice to go to one place and be able to find out if you wanted to know what was going on with the French, the rioting, if you wanted to know very difficult news to get, the real news that the mainstream media wouldn't touch. The objective was to put it under one portal. And why not sell advertising if you could? We wouldn't be advertising driven, but if you want to reach 15 million really astute, smart readers a month, you could buy one buy, as opposed to buying me and buying this and buying him and buying her. It's a difficult buy. And by the way, the advertising world, of which I know a great deal about because I was the director of agency relations at the New York Daily News, and then I was a publisher of the New York Observer, they're really like Helen Keller and someone with the furniture. They're trying to figure out the internet and how to buy it, and I think that a side objective was that, hey, we're going to make it easy for you to buy this political discourse. And we still may be feeling our way around, but so what? So what? We're not looking back. We're looking forward. And we're creating something here. We're creating something. Of course we're going to be the object of derision because the left is in charge of the media. I expect, listen, what I have seen since I've joined this, the kind of stuff that's run on me is just, I mean, I delete the four-letter words, but I try and leave the stuff up so that people can see the black and white. Here we're trying to have a conversation, and you're bringing up my whatever, my privates. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. The point I'm trying to make is that's what Pajama Media was. The name change, listen, I always love Pajama Media. I always love PJM. It's who we are. It's how we came up through the ranks, you know, La Perla-clad blogettes and bloggers. And I didn't think the name change was necessary. And interesting how we came back to it. I think it's great, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the story of the name is that, was it somebody at CBS during Rathergate?
Yeah.
Was that what they said? It was basically a bunch of people blogging in their pajamas.
In their pajamas. Listen, hey, I get stuff from my rack at 4 in the morning. I am in my pajamas, so I'm proud to be pajama clad. I wear my pajamas like a suit of armor. And yeah, that's exactly. It was a pejorative, but we thought it was great.
Sometimes
I thought it was great. I don't speak for everybody. I speak only for me.
Well, sometimes something said in derision turns out to be a really great thing. Or as Paul Newman said, sometimes nothing is a really cool hand.
Uh-huh. And it was very sagacious, I thought.
Yeah, well, Pamela, we are out of time. Robert Spencer is up next.
Well, he's a genius.
I've got to make way for Robert Spencer.
I shall put him on because I love Jihad Watch. That's his blog. It's brilliant. And again, another place where you're going to get news that you don't get anywhere else. And people, and I want to thank you for shining a light on this, because the key now, more than it's not advertising, the key now is to draw as many people in America to the blogosphere, and they'll see. It's like that fruit of knowledge. It'll blow them away. It's like taking this ginormous crowbar and prying an eyelid open. And once you've tasted it, there's no going back. You'll never go back to the mainstream media.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. I'd love to have you back on the program again. There's so much
thank
more
you
to talk
having
about.
Me, and keep playing that Billie Holiday.
I will do that. Your blog is Atlas Shrugs.
AtlasShrugs.com.
Thank you
very
much.
Or for people that are dyslexic, PamelasNews.com is also very easy to remember.
Well, Pamela, thank you very much for joining us. Stay tuned. This is WPKN in Bridgeport, 89.5 FM and 88.7 WPKM in Montauk.